Here are some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a pledge.
So Americans worshiping government over God.
An extremely rare safety move by a nation.
17 years the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
This idea is
Hello, friends. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. Thanks so much for letting me ride along with you if you're stuck in rush hour traffic. I certainly hope this conversation makes the journey a lot less arduous and more thought-provoking. And if you're at home trying to put dinner on the table, it's that crazy hour. I know, I get it. My heart goes out to you. But I hope we'll speak some calm and some interesting ideas into your heart and mind as you go through this next hour with us. So let me ask you a question. Ready? You do not use a lifeline or call a friend. This is on your own. How are your relationships? Yeah, just think about that for a minute. Not just if you're married, not just your spouse. That's certainly one. But I mean your friendships. That's a relationship, right? How about your relationships with your people on the job? Good, bad, ugly, hot, cold, just right? How would you define them? And have you ever thought that maybe the time has come and that time might be right now where you need a relational reset? What's that, you asked? I'm so glad you did. But I'm not going to answer it. Dr. Laurel Shaler is. She's a nationally certified counselor and licensed social worker. She's an associate prof at Liberty University, where she serves as the director of the Master of Arts in Professional Counseling Program. She writes and speaks a lot on the intersection of faith, culture, and emotional well-being. She has previously written Reclaiming Sanity, Hope and Healing for Trauma, Stress, and Overwhelming Life Events. And she joins us now as the author of Relational Reset, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back. Dr. Shaler, the warmest of welcomes. It's good to have you back on the program. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be with you.
I'm glad you're here. All right, let's start with language, because that's how we convey ideas. When you use the words, interesting coupling, relational reset, how do you redefine that?
Well, really, somebody needs a relational reset if they're in a strained or a broken relationship. If they're just tired of struggling because of relationship difficulties, or they've struggled with insecurity, maybe they're easily offended, constantly afraid of rejection, maybe they have a difficult time communicating, or they constantly feel misunderstood and defensive. Those are all signs that someone might need a little bit of a relational reset. It's kind of like on the outlet when you're blow drying your hair and the blow dryer goes on the fritz and you're trying to figure out what's going on, and you hit that little reset button in the middle of your outlet and then the blow dryer works again. That's what we need. We need that little button where we can reset our relationship and get things going again.
Wow, I like that word picture. So it's that button on your hair dryer. Just hold on to that thought. All right, so before you press that button, you might say, I'm not sure I need to press that button. There have to be some indicators. We all have blind spots. This works only if you have a sense that there needs to be a reset. How do we make sure we know?
Yeah, absolutely. So to start with, if you're somebody who feels like things just aren't going your way in relationships, you're constantly feeling offended, feeling like you have to walk on glass or on other people, or they have to walk that way around you. If you're constantly getting upset with other people or feeling like people just don't understand you, you're just not good at relationships, then you might recognize that this is a time that you need to hit that reset button. You might need a relational reset.
So another question, and I'm doing the flyover on this just so we can bore down. How do I know that the problem is me and not somebody else? You gave some really good indicators there, but I bet there are a lot of people listening, thinking of a particular relationship that they have in mind going, you know, upon further review, I don't think it's my problem. I think it's their problem. If that happens, then the emotional or the relational reset is not one that you think you have to do. It's that other person. I want to figure out those roads. How do I land on the safe spot there?
Right. And sometimes it is the other person and it's not us. But we can't control anyone else. We cannot change anyone else. We can only control and change ourselves. So I think it's wise to take a step back and look at ourselves and determine if some of the issues in our relationships might be because of me. So while we can't force anyone else to to reset the relationship with us, we can work our hardest, our best to, if at all possible, live at peace with everyone else. So that's kind of the goal here is what can I do to help this relationship along? And sometimes the victory is just in knowing that we've done everything that we could do. And at the end of the day, leaving the rest up to the Lord.
I like that. 877-548-3675, our topic, relationships. And we're going to talk about doing a reset in relationships, and we're going to figure out how we do that, what's the right way to do it, recognizing if, in fact, we need one. And all of this comes from the new book that Dr. Shaler has authored called Relational Reset. Our number, 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. All right. Great Expectations, wonderful title of a book written by one Charles Dickens. But sometimes we have too high expectations when it comes to our relationships with other people. We expect them to fill in the blank. Okay, part of the resetting here is making sure that I haven't foisted on somebody else false expectations of what that relationship should look like. How do I do that?
Yes, absolutely. So I think we have to start by acknowledging that everyone with whom we are in a relationship will at some point disappoint us if we are in a relationship with them long enough, and we're going to disappoint them too. So we have to expect some of these disappointments from one another. And if we put others on pedestals and we expect them to be perfect, we are going to wind up really hurt because they're going to fall off that pedestal. That much we know for sure. So we have to be cautious about how much we expect of other people. I was watching a TV program recently, and in the midst of an argument, one individual said to the other something to the effect of, "You set the standard so high that no one could ever meet it." So if that's someone listening, if that's me, then the expectations are not realistic because we're all human and others are human. So we should expect healthy boundaries and respecting one another, but we cannot expect perfection from one another. So if we expect that other people in our life are going to act exactly like we want them to act, we're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, well said. We're just getting started. Dr. Laurel Shaler is with us for the entire hour as we learn to reset, hit that button on the hairdryer when it comes to our relationships. Relational Reset is the brand new book that Dr. Shaler has authored. Subtitle says it all, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back. We're going to take all your calls and comments at 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. Back after this. Long hair, bell-bottom sandals. We call them hippies, and in the 60s and 70s, hippies started a revolution. From the volatility of war, racial tensions, and an era of free love also came a powerful spiritual revival. The Jesus Revolution rocked the world, and Greg Laurie was at the epicenter. Greg Laurie explains what happens in his book, Jesus Revolution. Request Jesus Revolution when you give a gift of any amount. Call 877-JANET-58, 877-JANET-58, or go to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. And a reminder that we are, in fact, listener-supported radio. So thank you so much for your financial gifts. You keep us on the air. You can call 877-JANET-58, 877-JANET-58, or you can give online at inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. You have to scroll all the way to the bottom of the page, left-hand side, and there's information on either getting this month's Truth Tool, that's a one-time gift of any amount, or becoming a partial partner. Those are our friends who support us on a regular, ongoing, monthly basis. Dr. Laurel Shaler is with us. She's the author of Relational Reset, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back. 877-548-3675 is our number, and already a lot of really great questions. Maurice in Florida, I thank you for stopping by. Your question, please.
Thank you, Janet. I love you so much. I listen to your radio every day, every 5 o'clock.
Oh, thank you.
My question for doctor is that how do I know when to reset? When it comes to relationship, like, feel every time I'm in a relationship, I feel like I'm repeating the same thing, and I don't know how to control that, you know, when it comes to saying the right thing to the person.
Well, thank you for your question, and thank you for your vulnerability. It's not always easy to acknowledge areas that we might need to grow in. And I would say that one of the things that you might consider is if you just look at the different topics in relational reset, learning how to talk straight. There's a whole chapter on how we can learn to be assertive without being aggressive or passive aggressive, but where we can talk directly to the people with whom we're in relationship and really try and work through conflict in order to improve the relationship we have with them. I hope that's helpful.
Thank you, Maurice. I appreciate your being with us. 877-548-3675. Again, our number here on In the Market with Janet Parshall. And let me go to Kaylee, who joins us from Illinois. Kaylee, your question, please.
Hi. Yeah. So I'm in a relationship for about 3 years now, and I have been told by him that I have quite the attitude, which I'm not going to lie. I can have a bit of an attitude, but he is very strong on every single time he has a bad reaction, sometimes a violent reaction, not necessarily towards me, that it's my fault because had I not done X, Y, and Z, you know, ABC would not have happened. And I guess he has a point in which, like, if I didn't have an attitude, he wouldn't react back to my attitude. But I'm just wondering how responsible is a person for another person's reactions? I've been told, you know, you're not responsible for how the other person chooses to act. But at the same time, if you don't do something, another person might not do the other thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Gauging kind of our level of responsibility, you know, for our own behaviors versus the behaviors of others. And certainly it's not up to us to dictate how someone else feels or how someone else reacts, but we also should be able to establish firm boundaries so that we're not being taken advantage of or that no one is mistreating us. And I just want to get a plug in for anyone that might be a victim of domestic violence to please make sure that you do seek safety. A great hotline is 1-800-799-7233.
Why don't you give that number a second time? Because I bet people couldn't write it down fast enough.
Absolutely, absolutely. 1-800-799-7233.
7233, and I thank you for that. I think it follows, Kaylee, if you don't mind it. I'm not saying this in your particular set of circumstances, but I think it follows suit in this line of questioning. Dr. Schiller, you write in the book that it's also important when you do a relational reset to understand when it's time to walk away from a relationship. What are those indicators?
Yeah, and I think this is such a difficult question to answer because good people have differences of opinions, and we're not just talking here in this book about marriages, but about all kinds of relationships. And I also think it's important to understand that forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. We're commanded to forgive. Scripture is clear on that. Lots of references about forgiveness. My favorite, I think, is between Peter and Jesus in Matthew 18, when Peter asks how many times he should forgive his brother when he sins against him. And Jesus says, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. So my pastor says it like this, stop counting and keep forgiving. And I've always loved that. But there are circumstances when reconciliation isn't possible. And I think it's important for us to recognize that sometimes we cannot reconcile because being in a close relationship with someone might be harmful for us. It might put us at physical risk. It might put us at emotional risk, or it might put someone else in our life at harm, such as our children or other family members. We should not expect others to stay in relationships if they're being abused. So there again, that's why I list the domestic violence hotline. But sometimes it's not a romantic partner that's being abusive to you. Sometimes it's a friend or, you know, a neighbor or a coworker. And there are times when you have to set those boundaries and make it clear that whether or not you're being abused, but maybe you're just not in a relationship that's healthy, that this isn't the right time or the right season in your life for that relationship. And be willing to be flexible with this, that you know, even in my life, I have found that there are times that somebody has gone out of my life for a period of time and then maybe one or both of us gets healthier and then we can reconcile and resume our relationship. But there are times when it's the best decision for us not to continue in a close relationship with someone, and we can still pray for them. And, you know, again, maybe the Lord will bring them back into our life, but we don't always have to be in close relationship with others. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says that we should not associate with those who call themselves a brother, but who are sexually immoral, idolaters, slanderers, drunkards, or swindlers. So there are times, even biblically speaking, when we should not be in close fellowship with some individuals.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for that. That's a good word. Just as an aside, do you not think, particularly with all of the earned initials you have to have after your name, that the Bible to this day remains the best psych book on the market?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I agree 100%. We learn a great deal from the Bible.
I do, too. All right, let me take a break and come right back. We're going to continue with your questions. Dr. Laurel Shaler is with us. Her newest book is called Relational Reset, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back. This isn't just about a husband and wife. These can be relations at work. These can be friendships. It's our interaction with other people. By the way, note to file. We were put on this earth for people, not for a paycheck, not for a project, but for people. So this conversation of interpersonal dynamics, really important, particularly when we discuss it from a biblical perspective. 877-548-3675. We'll continue with your calls after this. Dr. Laurel Shaler is with us. She is a nationally certified counselor and licensed social worker. She's an associate professor at Liberty University, where she serves as the director of the Master of Arts in Professional Counseling Program. Her newest book, Relational Reset, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back. That's what we're talking about this hour. 877-548-3675. Diane in Alabama, I so appreciate your patience, and we'll take your question now, please.
Hello, Janet. Thank you so much for taking my call, and God bless you and your ministry. I had a question about, like, friendships. I've never been one to have a lot of friends. I usually have, like, one best friend. But as I've gotten older, I try to develop new friendships. I try to reach out to people, spend time with them. And I'll do that for a little while, and then I kind of wait and see if they're going to initiate and see if they're going to want us, and then they don't. And that happens a lot. And so I think, well, they just really don't want to be friends. And so then I just kind of give up. And just wondering, you know, what you do about that. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Well, I think that, first of all, it might just be a matter of our current society where everyone is just so busy and it's really difficult for us to intentionally carve out time for other people. And I loved what Janet said a few moments ago, that we were created for people. And so I really wish that more of us would take that time to invest in other people. And it sounds like so far you're doing some of the right things that you know to do, where you're reaching out to people and where you're just showing them that you care. And I would just encourage you, don't give up. Because I do believe that the Lord is going to bring friends into your life. And I'd encourage you to seek out Christian women, maybe a Bible study or even a meetup of Christian women, to just get to know them and to just take some of the pressure off of yourself, that it's not all on you, and it may not be all about you either.
Mm. I like that counsel. Diane, I hope that's an encouragement, and I thank you so very, very much for being with us. 877-548-3675. That's our number here on In the Market with Janet Parshall. And our guest for the entire hour, Dr. Laurel Shaler, who's joining us because she has a new book called Relational Reset, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back, published by Moody Publishers. Nancy in Florida, thanks for being here. Your question, please.
Hi, I'd just like to know, similar to a question you had, but I don't know that I got answer. I have someone that verbally berates me and blames it on what I do instead of his reaction to it. And I can change A, B, C, D, and F, and it keeps going on and on because I'm human. I do things that upset him. But how? Where do I go? Where do I say, you need to stop reacting this way?
Right. So it sounds like in this case, based on that brief explanation, that it's his reaction rather than your behaviors. And this is really difficult, but my encouragement there has to be about setting boundaries. And I always like to recommend Cloud and Townsend and their Boundaries book and their Boundaries series. And they have a website where you can learn lots of great information about boundaries just by reading up on their website. Because it may be that that's what has to happen, that you have to work on being assertive and setting boundaries so that you're not attacked for things that you're not doing wrong. Again, you can't control or change this individual, but you should be able to establish where you end and where they begin.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's so funny because I was thinking about boundaries earlier in the program and how so much of this has to do with healthy boundaries. I don't want to go down a rabbit trail, but I think we do have to pull over to the side of the road for just a little bit, because I think the reason the book Boundaries is so powerful is because so many of us struggle with saying no, particularly in Christendom. That yes is obedience, no is rebellion, therefore saying no to somebody is not the right thing to do. You deal with personal dynamics. Talk to me about why healthy boundaries sometimes is the most Christ-like thing we can do.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. We believe that we always have to say yes. And whether it's when somebody asks us to do something or our opinion about something, we feel like we can't really give them the truthful answer. We just feel like we have to keep other people happy. But that is not the Christ-like response. So we need boundaries because that helps us to establish what our responsibility is and what someone else's responsibility is. So it prevents other people from trying to take over our lives, and it also prevents us from trying to take over the lives of others. So it's a good thing for both parties. So we have to learn how to accept responsibility for ourselves, but we also have to be able to hold other people accountable. So we have to be clear about setting limits with other people, forgiving them, but making it clear that it's not going to be acceptable if they, treat you in that same way in the future. I think, again, I have to go back to what we were talking about a few moments ago. Sometimes when we talk about the boundaries and the fear of setting boundaries, it is because somebody is being abusive. And that's a scenario where I have to say, get to safety, please, because you do not deserve, no one deserves to be abused. So when I talk about setting boundaries in a relationship context, sometimes we're in relationships with people that there is no setting boundaries because the other person will absolutely not respect them. And then we have to go back to that question of, is this time to let this relationship go?
Wow, excellent response. Thank you for that. Let me take a break. Great calls online. Again, Nancy, I hope you're encouraged by the answer you got from Dr. Laurel Shaler. The book, again, is called Relational Reset, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back. And you can learn more. Dr. Laura has a website, and it's right there. Dr. Laura, that was a hat tip to a former talk show host. Let me say Dr. Laurel Shaler so people don't get confused. And you can learn more about Dr. Shaler. If you don't get it, Google it. Trust me. The new book is called Relational Reset, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back. We are only at the 50-yard line. We have two more quarters to play, and I'm so glad because you got a lot of really good questions online about your relationships. 877-548-3675. Back after this. Let me give a big shout out to our Partial Partners. Thank you, friends. Partial Partners are becoming the backbone of this ministry. Their generous monthly gifts allow us to provide relevant, compelling programming every day. When you become a Partial Partner, you'll receive private emails directly from me, a weekly audio message only you will hear, and special behind-the-scenes updates as well. Become a Partial Partner today by calling 877-JANET-58 or go to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. Well, this topic is resonating with you because every single line is lit. And when that happens, when you hear me say goodbye and you also have a question on relationships, which is our topic on the table this hour, I want to hear from you. 877-548-3675. 877-548-3675. Dr. Laurel Shaler is with us. Let me reintroduce her formally if you're just now joining us. By the way, you know what? If you're just now joining us, you're like, oh, I wish I would have heard the first half. I can work that out for you. In the market with JanetPartial.org, right there, left-hand side, two words, past programs. Click it on. It'll take you over to the podcast. Download it for free. Listen at your convenience whenever you want. Dr. Laurel Shaler is a nationally certified counselor and licensed social worker, associate prof at Liberty University. She serves as the director of the Master of Arts in Professional Counseling, and she joins us because her new book is called Relational Reset, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back. 877-548-3675. Patty in Minnesota, thanks for stopping by. Your thoughts, please.
Sure. I just like to give a little input about there are some other choices and options for people who are having difficulties in relationships that sometimes don't come up. And that one is you can opt out of worldly things and go spiritual. There's a lot of people who feel that they should be social, and they may spend a lot of their time trying to become social according to our society's definition of what social is. And sometimes people need to maybe think about the other option, which is to kind of go on things alone for a while. There's a lot of wolves out there and that sheep clothing kind of routine, and the intimacy that you can establish with God, and you allow yourself some time to do that, is an option to doing a lot of the other verbal work or interrelational work.
Okay, let me get, if I can, Dr. Shaler's response to that.
Yeah, well, I think there's some strength in that. It's basically reframing what's going on here. So if we're finding that we're having a difficult time making and maintaining friendships, that maybe it's an opportunity for us to spend more time with the Lord. I do think that eventually he may call us back into relationship with others, because I do believe that that's important, and we're not supposed to, you know, forsake the fellowship of one another. And certainly we should be a part of a church body where our part of the church is wanted and respected and appreciated. So I do believe that those things can go hand in hand, that having time alone is not a bad thing, but also that we should seek to learn what we can from the Lord in terms of how he wants us to pursue relationship with other people.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That time out is one thing, but a lifestyle of a hermit, I don't think, is exactly what the Lord has called us to. It's out there. And not only that, but Dr. Shaler, he designed us for community, it seems to me, first and foremost with him and then with others. And I loved your citing of the verse, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves." There's a classic example of that. But how can I bear somebody else's burden? How can I recognize that when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt? How can I practice encouragement? All those things are people-oriented and cannot be done in isolation, it seems to me.
Right, absolutely.
877-548-3675. Thelma, thanks for joining us. Your thoughts, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've had a friend for about 20 years. She's very controlling. Everything has to be her way. So recently, I didn't do something that she wanted me to do or she felt that I should. And she told me that she didn't think that I was the friend that she needed for this time in her life. So since then, I have just kind of backed off. I don't call her. I text her and tell her I love her. Am I doing the right thing?
Well, a 20-year friendship, that's a long time. So I think you've been able to weather through ups and downs pretty successfully, it sounds like. And maybe at this season in your life, it would be beneficial for you two not to be as close. But it sounds like you're still being encouraging and uplifting to her, while at the same time respecting the boundary that she has set and also setting your own boundaries with her.
Wow. And wow, you talk about fruit of the Spirit, Thelma, to be a friend to someone who, as you characterized, is pretty demanding for 20 years. That says a lot about you. So blessings to you. That also leads me, Dr. Shaler, to a question about insecure attachment styles, unhealthy relationships. You write about this in the book. Talk me through this.
Right. So I share that research shows that 40% of adults have insecure attachment styles. So this is established in childhood. And these people are either avoidant or they're anxious. So when they're anxious, they basically look to others to complete them. But when they're avoidant, they're dismissive, they're emotionally distant from other people, they're fearful, they're afraid of getting too close or maybe too distant. And so we can see how these types of styles can be harmful. But the positive attachment style is the secure attachment style. That's the best attachment style. And this is when you feel connected to other people, but you also feel free. You don't feel overly needy or overly reliant on others. And other people aren't overly needy or reliant on you, other than, of course, our toddlers out there. I have a 2-year-old, so I know what that's like. But in secure relationships, we feel safe. We don't live in fear of the other person leaving us just because we get into a little squabble. You know, we have those people in our lives where we don't want to step on their toes because we're afraid that they're basically just going to say, forget you, and walk away from us. And that's not a right relationship. That's not the way it should be. We should be able to have a relationship where we don't live in fear that the other person is going to walk away from us just because we get into one argument. And think about 40%. That is a huge number of people that have insecure attachment. But there is hope for those that have the insecure attachment. And I just firmly believe that it's really rooted in developing a secure attachment to God. He is our Father. And if we attach ourselves first to Him, and we know that apart from Him, we can do nothing, then we can start to develop healthier relationships with other people.
I like that. Thank you so much. 877-548-3675. Andy in Tennessee, you have been so patient. I appreciate it. And your question, please.
Yes, thank you, Janet, for accepting my call. My question is, in the work environment, how do you distinguish between clear personality difference versus genuine conflict? How do you resolve it? I want to be in a place where I'm walking at peace, living at peace with all those in the person.
Andy, we've lost a lot of your audio, and I so apologize for that. But let me see if I can summarize it correctly in case, Dr. Shaler, you didn't hear it. Andy wants to know the distinction between real personality issues and when it's time to walk away. In other words, assessing the dynamic in the relationship. If you don't have a right assessment, you're not going to make the right choices. So how do you do that?
Yeah, good question. And I think I also heard something related to work, and I was excited to hear that, because that is a place where we spend so much time at our jobs. So it's interesting that we don't really think about the relationships that we have with our colleagues, because sometimes they're really strong and we really enjoy interacting with them and being with them, but sometimes they're not. And so it can be a real challenge to go to work day in and day out when you don't get along with a coworker. And we don't have to be best friends with everyone we work with, but it is important to learn how to communicate with them so that we can get along, so that we can be a team and get things accomplished. And it is important to be able to differentiate between a personality conflict or someone's personality issues maybe getting in the way of the relationship, and when there's something that's insurmountable. So when we look at personality, they're basically personality states and personality traits. And the traits are things that are God-given and that we don't necessarily expect to change. But we also have personality states. So just because someone is grumpy today doesn't mean that they're always grumpy. I mean, they could be. It could be a part of who they are, who they've chosen to be, because I certainly believe that with God they could change that. But we have to look at whether or not it's a trait or a state, and being careful not to hold those states against people. So just because somebody is sad in one moment or angry in one moment doesn't mean they're always sad or always angry. So we have to look at whether or not they're constant day-to-day traits or they're temporary states. But regardless, it's possible to work on all areas of our personality that are causing us problems in our relationships.
Yeah. You write a lot about disappointment and the fact that we have to learn how to deal with it, and that in truth it's inevitable. How do we deal with that?
Yeah, if we're not prepared for disappointments, then it can oftentimes sneak up on us and have a bigger emotional impact than they should be. I'm actually walking through the early stages of marriage with some friends, and that's something that we talk about. You know, just how do I recognize that I'm going to be disappointed, that my husband is not going to be the perfect person that I thought he was or that I thought he was going to be. And the same goes for wives. It's back and forth. But the same thing actually applies to friendships. Sometimes we get into a relationship with a friend, and everything is going great, and we don't have any problems, any conflict, and boom, they do something that just really disappoints us because we're not prepared for it. Again, we put those people on a pedestal, and we forget that we're all human and that we're all going to make mistakes. So how we handle the disappointment really dictates whether our relationship falters or whether it flourishes after the disappointment.
The book is called Relational Reset, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back. It is written by our guest, Dr. Laurel Shaler. And again, if you go to our website, inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org, scroll down, you'll see a red box with white letters. It says Program Details and Audio. Click it on, takes you over to the information page. You're going to learn more about Dr. Shaler. We have a link to her website, and also there's the book, Relational Reset, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back. 877-548-3675. That's That's our phone number, and we want to hear more from you after this. That's our number here on In the Market with Janet Parshall. And let me go right back to your calls for Dr. Laura Shaler. Pamela, let me welcome you. Thanks for being here. And your thoughts, please.
Hi. I'm so happy to get your book, Dr. Laurel. I was listening to the caller that you were speaking about on boundaries. And I'm a mom of four. I am a senior executive in my company. My biggest problem is how to set boundaries or have those phrases to set boundaries that don't offend people. Because I find that in my life, a lot of friends, family members, their priorities and emergencies are not my priorities and emergencies. And when I say no or I set the boundary, they get offended. And I just need some of those, you know, go-to phrases that help me to help them understand that I'm not trying to offend, but I have boundaries that I need to set.
Yeah, I love the expression, a lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part, right? So that's something that we all would do well to remember. I'd simply look at it as a two-part statement where maybe we're willing to forgive or we're willing to accept their apology, but we are also asking for them to do something. So I'm willing to forgive you and I'm asking you not to yell at me the next time we argue, or I accept your apology and I trust that you will ask me farther ahead in the future if you need my help with something. Sometimes it's not so much about forgiveness, but that second part of the statement is really the boundary setting that you know, I love you and I want to help you. At the same time, 2 days' notice is not enough time for me. So in the future, if you can give me a couple weeks, I might be able to help you out. And ultimately, I think how we interact with that individual, not just in that moment, but in the rest of our life, you know, how we treat them is going to speak volumes. Because if they know that we love them and that we respect them, then they'll be able to tolerate our no a little bit better than if we're just constantly saying no. And one other thought, especially when we talk about kids, it's really important that we fill up someone's yes bucket as much as possible. So we want to say yes as much as is reasonable and as much as we can so that they don't necessarily feel like every time they ask us for something, we say no. And I said that was the last thought, but I do have one more because I think this is such an important topic, which is that we have to be careful not to set other people up to tell us no. I've had a friend that even knowing that, you know, what my circumstances are with family, then I might be asked really frequently to take trips and travel and, you know, go to all these things. And I'm just not able to do that. So I finally have had to say, you know, this season of my life, I'm just not able to do that. So let's hold off on talking about any plans for a few years or maybe 16 until my daughter is grown.
Good. Thank you for that. And Pamela, thanks so much for the question. I appreciate it. Steve, let me welcome you. Your question now for Dr. Shaler, please.
Is that me?
It is you. Thank
Hello?
You. Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, I had a quick question. My mother-in-law is having some issues, and she's become certain narcissistic tendencies. How do we set up those boundaries with someone that we also are told to respect and honor in the Bible?
Absolutely, we should be respectful of people when we set boundaries. I mean, setting boundaries is actually the most respectful thing that we can do. It's like being assertive. When we're assertive, we're saying that I'm important and you're equally important. When we're passive, we're actually saying that we're not important and the other person is important. And when we're aggressive, we're saying that the other person is important and we're not important. So being assertive is really the most respectful thing that we can do because we're honoring both parties, ourselves and the other person. So it can be really painful to set boundaries. We all are a work in progress. Most of us are a work in progress as far as setting boundaries goes, but it is important to be able to do it. It is tough when somebody has some narcissistic tendencies, but keep in mind that the root of most narcissism is actually insecurity. So if you have somebody in your life that's all of a sudden acting narcissistic, maybe there's some insecurity there. Maybe they're feeling like, I don't want to have to ask for help after I've been independent my whole life or something of that nature. But just keep that in mind. That empathy may take you a long way.
Mm. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate your being with us. 877-548-3675. And if I can, let me go to Rebecca in Indiana. Rebecca, thanks for being here. Please, your question.
Hi. My mom and I love you. Thanks for taking my call. And thank
You're
you
welcome.
Also for taking the question on the other end there. So I have a believing boss. And very nice guy. I just started a job at a nonprofit after school organization. I'm really disappointed to find that he comes in late as the routine, not the exception. Oddly enough, I'll put something in front of him as a suggestion or, maybe information he didn't have, and, it will go unattended, but with no explanation. And just some things that I know are needing done at an executive level that I can't do are left at the wayside, and it's disturbing and super frustrating. I told my coworker, I don't want to, like, I'm becoming an A-type personality or something. but, yeah, so I'm just, like, trying to figure out how do I, from Christian to Christian, but from inferior to superior as far as the employee, you know, status goes, address this? Because I've tried a couple ways, but I'm supposed to keep it short, so I'll just hand it over to you, and if you have questions, I can try to answer.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the new job. That's an exciting time, and that can also be a bit stressful as we get used to not only the job, but also the dynamics of the people that we're working with. And it can be difficult. I've been where you are. I've had bosses, not at my current job, but at a previous one, where they weren't necessarily doing everything as they should have been. And it is a challenge. At some level, we have to determine what is our job and what is not our job, and is it our responsibility? Now, I hear what you're saying, believer to believer, do you go to them? And yes, in some cases you might, in particular if they've done something that's wrong or it's improper or immoral or, you know, one of those things, it may be something that you go to them with. But at the same time, it may not be your role. Maybe they have a supervisor that you might need to talk with in the future. But thanks for your question.
And that hour has absolutely flown. Dr. Shaler, thank you so much for the insight. A lot of people still online with questions, so you've struck a responsive nerve, by the way, on this topic of relationships. I want to get our friends to visit our website at inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org, inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. If you click that on, it'll take you to the information page, and you're going to have a link to Dr. Shaler's website. And also, there's the book, Relational Reset, Unlearning the Habits That Hold You Back. Very insightful, and it will answer, I think, most of the questions of those of you who are still online. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, we're listener-supported, so let me thank you for keeping us on the air. I so appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter, check us out on Facebook, and we'll see you next time on In the Market with Janet Partial.